Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we give praise. We give you glory. Yours is the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever. Thank you for every soul present here this morning and those who will be listening to us. And trust you, Holy Spirit, that you put things in order, that your name may be glorified. We give praise and glory to your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Please, can we open our Bibles to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. Paul was writing to Titus and telling him the reason why he gave instructions. Hallelujah. Please, can I put this fan up? This one. He said, this is the reason or the cause why I left thee in Crete. Certain things were going on in that church that Paul needed us to address. And he was telling Titus, I beg your pardon, that particular reason why he was left there. He probably did not understand, probably he was confused, and Paul needed to explain to him why he took that action. And this is why I left you in Crete. That thou should do what? Set in order. Everybody say order. One of the most difficult things in any church is things being done in order. Paul was very particular about order. And if you read the Old Testament, you will realize that God was very, very particular how things were done. Praise God. He set his statutes and his commandments and everything, and he set things in order. You do not come into the temple and offer anyhow. Everything was placed in order. It's very unfortunate that the Pentecostal churches do not understand the principle of order. And things must be properly done if we are going to get the benefits of the covenant. Praise the Lord. Said, I left thee that you should set in order the things that are what? Wanting. There will always be things that are wanting in any church. Praise God. And it's a job of leadership to always recognize what is wanting and put those things and set those things in order. And do what? Ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Praise the Lord. Certain things, you know, over time tend to blur our sense of judgment. Paul was writing to Timothy, was warning, he said the church is the ground and what? The pillar of truth. In other words, we are the standard bearers. If they are looking for truth in nations, where should they find truth? The church. The church should be the people defining righteousness. So you should be the one defining uprightness. If you want giving definition to things like that. I was thinking about the night and I was like, why is that every Christian who has given political power has always come back to betray the church? Why is it that you trust people with authority and they betray Jesus? And they don't feel anything about it. You know why that is so? Because we are living disorderly. Because things are not set in order. We have no one to set things properly. Remember there was a time the Bible said that there was no king in Israel. And so what happened? People did as they pleased. One of the things a king does is set things in order. Hallelujah. And so we have come to a time in the Pentecostal world where nobody knows what is right or what is wrong. Everybody does as they please. There is no voice that says, this is the standard. Obey. Everybody does as it pleases. I can come to church when I want to come to church. I can do whatever I like to do in church. Nobody has the right to tell me what is right or wrong. But we have come to that place right now, especially in Western Europe, where you cannot tell somebody you are a sinner. Repent. That is hate speech. You will go to jail. So, your hands are anchored. You can't preach. On what basis would like to give your life to Jesus? If you are not a sinner. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't preach. If you preach, you are taking the risk of going to jail. I was doing yoga last time. I said, if you guys are not serious, the way you are doing church, you are not serious. You guys, because you are ready to go to jail, you going to be around you here. Not, you do not go anywhere. Praise God. Are you with me? We are getting to that place where society will begin to define what is right for us. And if you don't begin to push back, but how can we push back when the people in church themselves are disorderly? They come into church and they bring strange patterns into the church. Praise God. How do I know? Straight pattern. Let us look at the way we dance. I see strange dances in the church. I see strange music in the church. I see strange behaviors in the church. And nobody's calling people to order. And when you call them to order, they say, you're earning too much. Ah, leave us alone. And that's what Pastor said last week. We come to church to dance as a substitute for the parties we can't go to. Say, follow me. If I will not go and do one and there, I'm sure I didn't see church. It's not that. Every song you sing now, just put Jesus inside. It's okay. Disorderly people. Amen. You know the song I used to use as my bad example? We love this to God. And people dance and I'm like, who's laid the foundation for these people? Who set the standards for them? The church is where standards are raised and the church is the place where standards are set and enforced. Hallelujah. Anyone that is disorderly should not find a place and a refuge in the church. It should not happen. Many of us will think that only fornication. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Look at what Paul was saying we should stop doing. These are things we should not allow in the church. Ephesians 4. Where's my Ephesians? Ephesians in the New Testament, right? Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Alright. Look at verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. But so we thank you for that message this morning. It really knocked me off. Hallelujah. I will use it to tell Pastor Johnson that he's not the only one reading the message. Hallelujah. I will use it to this one. Praise God. Hallelujah. This I said therefore, and I do what? Testify in the Lord. There are places in the Bible where Paul said, this is not the Lord speaking, this is Paul speaking. I'm giving my judgment on this matter. Look at all the New Testament. You find these apostles were laying standards. They were putting down judgment. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? They were telling people what was right from what is wrong. We cannot afford to have duplicity or a situation where people cannot understand what they should do and what they should not do. They say we are not under the law. Who told you that? Hallelujah. Men were born to obey laws. The whole creation is governed by laws. So what made it that God said this to become disorderly? It doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent with his nature. Praise God. You were a slave to sin. Now when you were redeemed, you are now a slave to what? To righteousness. So what is coming between the two situations? What's the common denominator? You are a slave. Whether to sin or to righteousness, you are still a what? A slave.
You were born in sleep, you will die in sleep. Tell somebody amen.
Amen.
Either way, you will always die in sleep. I testify in the Lord. This is no longer Paul laying this foundation. This is a commandment from the Lord. And what is it? That you henceforth from today, walk not as other Gentiles do in the vanity of what? Of their minds. What is that? Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened. So we find that our problem for disorderliness starts from where? Understanding. What's understanding about an issue? What's understanding about the circumstance? Your understanding about how to react to a particular situation is darkened, you will act like a Gentile. Pastor was talking about Gentiles. You know, we have a lot of Gentile Christians in the church. Gentilic. Have you heard that word before? Gentilic. It's not English, you. It's spiritual English. Amen. Hallelujah. Gentilic. How do you know a Gentile Christian? He lives for what shall I eat? What shall I wear? How will tomorrow go? Who will I marry? That is what occupies their whole thought life. They are Gentiles, even though they are born again. They don't work. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated. No one needs to be alienated. You know about aliens? Aliens. Alien. The word alienated means you are an alien. You do understand. You're a stranger. You never lived among them. You don't know their culture. You don't know their behavior. You don't know what. I was reading an article somewhere, and they said, to do this to a fellow, how are you? It's an act of aggression. How many of you knew that? So if you go to a fellow and say, you're looking for what? You are looking for what? Why would I do that? Because I'm an alien. I don't know their customs. Praise God. He says, this understanding will be alienated from what? The life of God. That means you have no... You are an alien. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You don't understand how it works. So I read many people, when they talk about eternal life, and I keep asking, what is eternal life? And nobody has, among them, has told what eternal life. So they are pursuing eternal life. Yeah. If you see eternal life, can you recognize it? That was what I asked of my daughter. She was boasting her eternal life. I said, if you see eternal life, can you recognize it? Since that day, I'm talking about close to a month now, she has not communicated with me on Facebook. Is it Facebook, sorry, WhatsApp? It just went offline. Because she couldn't answer that question. Many cannot understand what eternal life is. You know what eternal life is? Eternal life manifests in the way you make your choice and the way you react. That's life. If you carry God and put God in a situation, because of the kind of life he has, there is a way you respond. Do you understand me? It is not your breathing that defines your life. It's how you respond that you know what kind of life you carry. You know, there are people they call dogs. There are people they call... I think what those kung fu things. They say the donkey master. What do you think he's carrying? It's the life of a drunkard. He's perpetually drunk. Even when you give him water, he will be drunk. Praise God. That is the life manifesting. Praise God. So when I talk about the life of God, that these guys are alienated. They don't have a clue about how this life operates. The mountains, they talk about it, but they don't know. And the true ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. See, who been past feeling and giving themselves over to what? Lasciviousness. Can you give me another thing for lasciviousness? Those are ancient languages that you may not understand. Give me another translation that is from modern English. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless, library, and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sexuality. Eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that the depraved desires may suggest and demand. I know many of you have not gotten that far. But this is a situation that if you do not arrest and you don't bring order into your life, you will degenerate down that path. Praise God. Now 20. It says, but you have not so done what? The issue I want to ask, who taught you Christ? He said, when he taught Christ to them, he was not what he taught them. You have not so learned Christ. That means Christ is not like this. If you are claiming to follow Christ, then you should not see those attributes in your life. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? So when we talk about you are a city set upon the hill, you are the light of the world, he's talking about that you are the standard bearers. You are the standard bearers. You are the one they are looking up to for direction in life. You are God's solution for this dying world. And if you are not an ordinary and an organized person, and a person who is given to law, abiding, whatever, praise God. Amen. I'm not a poet. Fill in the blank space. Hallelujah. Then you are a failure. You have failed as a believer. You have failed the God of heaven. You have failed everything they invested in you. You have failed. Because you have failed in your calling. Our primary calling is the calling of you being the light. Amen. Amen. Forget all the words people have said. Your destiny. You have no other destiny than being the light of the world. That's your calling. Amen. People have not so learned Christ. That was so much he taught you. Some of you came from different places. Your foundation is completely wrong. Like I said, some of us came to church as a substitute for, when I go to parties, burial, I don't like going to all those things anymore. Praise the Lord. I don't even know how to dance. You notice that when I'm here, I don't even know how to dance. Praise God. All things are passing away. You see, I ask myself, who should be telling the world how to dance? Should the world be telling me how to dance, or I should be telling the world how to dance? Many of us are still afflicted with this problem. That, praise God, all they need to do is just put it on your head and put Sonia there. You see, like Pastor said, you see, we cheat into operation. You sell, it's automated. Just you have the string, bow, and you start. And I walk, I just look at it and I don't know whether I'm a same person. Praise God. He looks like I'm strange. I think I am. Praise God. But I ask, when are you going to divorce ourselves from the world and stand and say, I will have nothing to do with this system? Like I said on Thursday, there are parts of our lives that we have told the Holy Ghost, don't come here. It doesn't concern you. This is my life. The one I will give you is 2 hours on Sunday to serve you. I will dance for you on Sunday. When I get home, I will do my own. Is that okay? Jesus will say, it's okay. No problem. Continue. But the day will come when you give account of everything you have done in your body. You will account. Well, at that time, you will now tell him that it's okay. You will know whether it's okay or not. Disorderliness. Set in order the things that are lacking. Many things are lacking in your life. It's time to put your life in order. Read the Old Testament. Every time God is coming into a counter Israel, God will tell us, go tell Israel, sanctify yourself for in 3 days I will appear. Put things in order. Don't appear before me anyhow, because if I appear and you are anyhow, I'll kill you. And people are doing that, they God, he forget the meaning, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. You think that is not the same today anymore. He was Old Testament, it's no longer today, and tomorrow we can continue, but this today I can do anything I like. You can't do anything you like. Hallelujah. You cannot do anything you like. That was not how Jesus laid the foundation for us. I don't forget that teaching pastor Oji taught in Lakumba. And I realized that it's true. Our problem is that our foundations are wrong. Many of us, whoever it was that laid the foundations of our life, of our Christian life, laid them wrongly. And it's good for you to go revisit your foundation. Who laid it and with what materials did they lay it? What are the things they said were okay and the things that they said were not okay? There are things they said was okay that actually isn't okay. Praise the Lord. You got to go revisit it. There was a time, I don't know whether pastor remember, when the prominent man of God came to this country, you know, on this country, it is not by fasting and prayer, hallelujah. And we started and said, but this man got here by fasting and prayer. And now he's telling us it's no longer. And many people stop fasting and praying. They said, not by prayer, it's not by the Bible. In those days, not by the book of Hebrews. This study not go by Bible study or by prayer. It go by praises. And I called myself. I don't remember that in the Bible, the churches in the Asian, all the nations are good by your praises. Where did you get a model from? What kind of people are you building? And so people's lives have been laid with wrong foundations. And so it shows in their manifestation. Listen, if something is wrong with you, please go visit your foundation again. There's nothing wrong in pulling down. Do you remember when God was speaking can you give me Jeremiah? When God was speaking to Jeremiah, I will come back here. Jeremiah 1, I think, let's speak it from verse 8. Is it 7? When God was giving it, something to Jeremiah. Is it here? Okay. They said, then said I, Lord, but behold, I cannot speak for a child, verse 7. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8. But be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord, verse 9. Yeah. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10. Yes. See where I'm going. See this day. Ever say this day. It was that day. I have said thee about what? Nations and kingdoms. It is, look at the way God gave his charge. To do what? To root out. See, you cannot, you must understand the order in which it's presented. It's like a culture. First of all, root out. Secondly, pull down. Thirdly, destroy. Fourthly, throw down. Before you do what? If you attempt to build before destroying now, you are going to fail. I don't know why you understand me. You are going to fail. Can you give me the commissioning statement of Jesus to Paul? You know where that is in Acts of Apostles? If you read the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, when Jesus was giving him a charge. Let us look at the charge he gave. Acts of Apostles, do you know where it is? 9. When Jesus appeared to him. Hallelujah. Let's think about verse 15. What do you mean, love you? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for his word, a chosen vessel, unto me. So bear my name before who?
Yes,
before who?
Yes,
before who?
Yes,
the first instruction to Paul was to who?
The Gentiles.
Then to who? Kings. Then to who? Go and read the story of Paul. Well, Paul always went to the Israelites first. And every time he went, he was always coming out to Jesus. And Christ. Until one day he had common sense. May God bless the common sense. It's a great gift. When you pray, say, Lord, give me common sense. God did not have it. He kept entering trouble. And he said, I now go to the Gentiles to whom God has sent me. That was when he had put peace. Amen. attention to God's instruction. Pay attention to the order it is written. Don't lump it together. God is a God of precision. He's not a God of anyhow. When I consider the stars and the moon and the works of your hands and what you have created, I begin to ask, what is man? If you understand the precision of the planetary of bodies, precision, you know that God knows math more than math. I don't know how he did the balancing. I don't understand. Precise. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the earth has this with you, 1 degree, all of us here, we just die. Not only the earth that affect the temperature of the earth, to affect the oxygen level of the earth. And once the oxygen level goes below 23%, we can't live. Hallelujah. So you are saying, God does not know what he's doing. Now, if it's such precise, what makes you think that when he's playing sin, he demands on you, he will not demand for precision? Why do you think they said they found in Daniel the spirit of the gods? What was the manifestation of those spirits in him? They said he had an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. Daniel can't do a thing and you find fault with it. There will be no fault. Can we begin to live a life and bring a place in demand on ourselves that whatever service I will deliver, I want to begin to deliver a faultless service? That will be a training. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Then, to bear my name before who? Gentiles, kings, and the children of who? Israel. Hallelujah. And so when we speak about putting things in order, we need to understand that the Bible says line upon
line.
Precept upon
precept.
A little here,
a little there.
Praise God. Let me come by explaining this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul began to give us an understanding, he had to bring an understanding before us. Chapter 3, when he was rebuking the believers there, the brethren there. But let's look at what he was trying to communicate. Again, I was talking about foundation. From verse 6. Okay, let me say from verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted Apollos water, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. Now please understand, again, part of it, of what I'm trying to explain, that you see, God is a God of order. And you as a person must understand his operation and his ways. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He did not lump it together. He didn't say, Paul, go and water, go and... Paul recognized his own portion in the work and the scheme of the government of heaven. He did not cross over to do the watering process. Do you understand? Everything was worked is done in order. Remember I told us that Paul was busy with Israel and he kept having problems. Even when he now came to the Gentiles, he had to recognize his limitations. Hallelujah. He was sent to the Gentiles, but within that context of his sending, his job was to do what? To plant. All his life, he was doing what? Was planting. Because it was given to another man to do the watering. It's also given to another man to do the harvesting. Praise God. God gave him things, but another man was bringing the harvest. But you know, he didn't speak about the harvest yet. There are other people that have been trained for the harvest. That is their calling. If they leave their calling and they go and do planting work, they have failed. They have not done what they were called to. They are disorderly. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. So you must locate what you have been assigned to within the context of your calling. Praise God. Because that's part of the order. Amen. And you must know when to start the watering. And when, how much water you should put. Do you understand me? These are details. These are things we must understand. It's part of the order. Praise God. Fire first and not get business by 7. Verse 7. So neither is he that neither is it that planted anything, neither is that watered, but God that gave the increase. Verse 8. Hear him. So now he that planted, he that watered, that won, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9. For we are what? Laborers together with God. Now pay attention. Say, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are both the vineyard, we are also God's building. Amen. Now, look at next verse 10. Now says, according to the grace of God which is given to me. Please, can you recognize, have you recognized the grace God has given to you? What was writing? What was writing? Was it the Galatians? I don't know who was writing to. He said that then the grace that was mighty towards Peter was also mighty in him. Praise God. I now say that it was the youth of all the apostles, but not in terms of capacity. But he now said that he got more than them all. They received the same amount of grace, but he said he put in more personal effort. Praise God. What was the grace given to him? They gave him the grace of a wise master builder. What did he do? He laid the foundation. Now, this is where the problem starts. Amen. Not everybody has the wisdom of a wise master builder. Because for you to be a wise master builder, you must be able to interpret. Please tell me, I'm going to have 10 more minutes. You must be able to interpret the architectural drawing. In the architectural drawings, if I'm not mistaken, before you put up a building, there are different consultants for that project. You have the architect, you have the structural engineer, the surveyor is there, the building engineers are there, the civil engineers are there, the quantity surveyors are there. They are all there. Praise God. And one of the responsibilities of the QA is that you don't use or you don't waste materials. And you don't use the wrong materials. Because in preparing the bill of quantities, you have already prepared and said, these are the kind of materials you must use. If you are designed, if the building is designed to use a 12mm steel rod, you don't get to site and use 6mm. You have compromised the building. You understand? And so it's their job to make sure that exactly 12mm is used on site. And now the structural engineer must also be there, because when he did the design, they haven't checked the structure, he has recommended that only 12mm can be used. Otherwise, the building will collapse. I don't know if I'm making sense. Now, if you cannot interpret, if the builder cannot interpret that architectural design, it will build nonsense. And every site, I must tell you, is always different. If you have ever been to an housing estate where they build the same kind of houses, am I making sense? The topography is always different. But as a building engineer, you must understand how you must build and still maintain the integrity of that site. Praise God. So every site is different. Your site is different from the site. It's different from the site. It's different from the site. Amen. But in the wise master builder, I have only one building I must put. You understand? They're going to give it us one design. Not two, not three, not four. Only one design. Praise God. You don't understand why we have different churches and we have all kinds of buildings in town. Somebody is not interpreting the design properly. Because if we have an estate and there are different houses with different designs, then somebody did a very, very poor job. So the building I put in you must be the same building I put in him. Must be the same building I put. It looks a little bit boring, right? Praise God. Now the difference in the buildings will be the finishing. The choice of colors, the choice of The exterior design, the finishing you put in. That is where your individuality comes in. Praise God. The essentialist is still the same building. Three bedroom flats here and three bedroom flats there. Not four bedroom flats. Now, if you now go and add two more bedrooms, the owner of the estate may have to come and meet you. And so, who permitted you to put those three extra rooms? I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. And so, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. And now, let me say this, please. My time is up. In putting down the foundation, it's very critical. There's what they call, Pastor, what is that foundation? You know foundation, sir? There's an outline of foundation, praise God. The setting, have you? The setting of the, you set the foundation. Every foundation must have a cornerstone. So who put your cornerstone in place? What was used as a cornerstone? Jesus is our cornerstone. But people have put religion as a cornerstone. Our church doctrine as a cornerstone. Praise God. Do you understand me? Wrong foundations were laid. You can see that. Like, now, by the time somebody else comes and start putting blocks and up, because at the point of laying that foundation, they will not be different from one another. So you understand? I will not know when they put that. At least they don't have the foundation. You've done your foundation. But when the building begins to go up, your kitchen is here. Your own kitchen is there. Do you understand? That's where it will now show that somebody has built wrongly. Praise the Lord. So if the Bible calls us God's temple, we should ask, what kind of temple is it built in your life? If somebody has put the most holy place at the entrance of the your building, and the mountain and the water something at the inside, you know, that's the wrong building. You will never see the glory appear there. Because they're not supposed to, the glory is not supposed to be, that's what they're supposed to be first when we enter your house. Praise God. But if you are the temple, you must replicate that temple as you saw it in the Bible. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you this morning. Let us set things in order. Check your building, check your life. What is not supposed to be there, it's time for you to visit it. I said, this is the wrong, this room they put in my life is not part of my life. Lord, let us reestablish it. Yeah, if you keep your life, if it's wrong, you have right to pull it down and to start building again. Praise the Lord. It's only in Christianity that a man who was a celebrity in the world will come to church and become an evangelist. There was a man called Sonny Okosu. You remember brother Sonny Okosu? The OCD master. God born again and became an evangelist after 1 year. Only 1 year. I mean, for 1 year, did he evangelist? He didn't learn from anybody. That's wrong. Very, very, very wrong. Who told you that a person who sings is an evangelist? Disorderly behavior. Because you can think, evangelist, Tobilare, told you. Some people that play with fire out. Because it's wrong. These are sacred offices, you don't enter in here. We should stop it. Hallelujah. If you're angry with me this morning, forgive me. But I must say the truth. Our lives need to be put in order. Our prayer life, look at different aspects of your life that needs to be put in order. So that I let you increase, that you may put in order the things that are wanting. There are things that are wanting in your spiritual life. There are things that are wanting in your academic life. There are things that are wanting every aspect of your life. You must bring them back into order. Praise God. Listen, if you need consultants, go and get consultants. Praise God. I mean, pastor, if you want to put a, you have some idea people who know better, come and help me do this thing. God will help us in Jesus' name. But let every man take heed how he builds thereof. Paul said he laid the foundation. But the God is only to, not for those who lay, build upon it. It's also for those of us who have the responsibility of laying and putting and setting those things. Hallelujah. Be careful what kind of foundation you lay in people's lives. Be careful what you are building and you are putting on other people's foundations. Be careful about the materials you are using. Don't compromise materials. Don't be in a hurry. You know about casting, when you cast concrete, how many days does concrete require for concrete to cure? 28 days. In 28 days, you have no right to put anything on that thing. You have to wait for it to cure, otherwise you are going to create problems. Especially if you are doing a decking. I see people, after 3 days, they remove the props and everything and continue to build. It's a disaster waiting to happen. This room. Don't do your life like that. God is not in a hurry. Take your time and do it properly. Praise the Lord. I believe you are blessed. The Lord will help us. Can we bow our heads to pray? Can you talk to the Lord? Help me. Because I need to put my life in order. God said to Hezekiah, then put your house in order, because you will die. Put your house in order. You need to put your life in order, because one day you will stand before God. You need to put your life in order. Lord, I want to help you to put my life in order. Many things are not right. Things are not jelly. There's a lot of disorderliness in my life. You run your life the way you want to run your life. You can't continue like this. Lord, I need help. You have not fallen Christ. Men are alienated from the life of God. Because their understanding has been darkened. Pride darkens it. Self-will darkens it. Love for pleasure darkens it. Lord, have mercy. I ask for help. Bring your light upon my life. Bring your light upon my ways. What is wrong in my life? Lord, help me. You are loving things you should not love. You are entering a relationship you should not enter. That's the disorderly life. You are comparing yourself. You want to be like the world. It's a disorderly life. You should make up your mind and say, let the standards of God become the standards by which I will live my life. In every building, there's what they call the plumb line. They take the plumb line and check whether the block work is upright and straight. You can't afford to build a crooked life. It will not carry the superstructure. That's why it says, show me where I fit. You need to know where you fit. And when you know what where you fit, you need to know the demands of that particular place of your fitting. It comes with its own peculiar demands. Paul did not know where he fitted. And he kept them to trouble. And when he knew, he needed to know the specifics. It's not a walk in the park. There's so much demand that God has placed upon us. That's why we need help. Help me, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I commit every one of us into your care. You know that we are disorderly people. We are children of disobedience. That was where we came from. But we have not learned Christ that way. We are praying for a change of heart, that you will give us that heart that is obedient, that will become light to the world. We'll appreciate and we will hold dear to our the calling upon our lives to be light bearers in the name of Jesus. We are the standard bearers of righteousness. We are the standard bearers of truth. Lord, help us to live lives that will bring honor and glory to your name in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from wherever we are falling.
Amen.
Raise us up, O God. Restore our lives back to a place of order.
Amen.
Let the name of your Son be magnified. Because we are praying together in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.